We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're talking the 2021 rookie running back class on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome back to Roto-Viz Radio. I'm Dave Cabin, Senior Fantasy Analyst at Roto-Viz, joined by Matthew Freeman of Fantasy Labs and the Action Network. We are going to talk about the 2021 class of running backs, some interesting prospects. I love talking about running back prospects, running back classes. Matt, I always ask you how excited you are about things, so I'm going to change it up this time. How are we feeling about this class of rookie running backs that will be coming into the league next year?
It's okay, not great. I don't think it stacks up all that well with last year's class.
No, it definitely doesn't. So, and yeah, a piece for that is Chuba Hubbard, who was looking last year like he was one that would elevate the class, and it was actually a bit of a hit to the class that he didn't decide to make the jump to the NFL last year. So actually, not living up to the hype this year, so we'll talk about him. But yeah, I mean, overall, not a class that we're going to be super enthused about. Excuse me. Where do you want to start, Matt? You want to start with Travis Etienne or Najee Harris?
Let's go with Etienne. I mean, I think he's probably going to be the top runner drafted, but I might be wrong. I mean, I guess it's sort of just this open debate, but let's start with Etienne.
All right, yeah, let's start with him. I kind of do anticipate that he will be the first back off the board. I think you could maybe make a case for Harris as well. But let's just run through quickly what he did, Etienne, that is, while he was at Auburn. First season, 766 rush yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. As a receiver, only 5 recs, 57 yards. But man, as a sophomore, 204 rushing attempts, 1,658 rushing yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 recs, 78 yards, running back dominator that year of a 0.61. Then, as a junior, 1,614 yards, 19 rushing touchdowns, 7.8 yards per carry. As a receiver, 4 receiving touchdowns, 432 yards. And then closes things off in 2020 in 12 games, 914 rush yards, 14 touchdowns, 588 receiving yards, 48 receptions, 2 receiving touchdowns. On his career, averaged 7.22 yards per carry, a career dominator of 0.61, total receiving yards, 1,155, 8 receiving touchdowns. He is 21. I think when the season starts, he'll be 22, so he's not that old. A lot of things that people can point to for Etienne.
Yeah, the most impressive thing, I think, was his receiving capabilities that we saw this past year. And, you know, we already knew he was a pretty good receiver, but he became an even better receiver in his final season. So, 588 yards in just 12 games, like that is that's legit receiving capability. So I think he has the three down ability for the NFL. He's got the size, you know, like 5'10", 210 pounds. I will be curious to see how big he actually is, you know, because like he might be like more like 205. Yep. And if that's the case, then it's like, he might be 205 with the ability to maybe bulk up a little bit or, you know, play kind of like a LeSean McCoy type of weight and be a lead back. But there is the chance that if he's around 205, you know, he slips into the second round and a team thinks of him as, you know, sort of like a super change of pace back instead of a potential lead back. So I will be curious to see how much he actually weighs, what his size is, because I think that is actually kind of like the biggest factor for his NFL future.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. And with just how multifaceted he proved to be, I mean, a receiving yards market share of 14%, on this Clemson team in 2020, just a super complete profile, production every single year. It's hard to really make many knocks on him. I think even if he'd come out last year, arguably could have been in the conversation as the best back in the class. I mean, when I think about him, I think about a player like DeAndre Swift and what we saw him do in his first season in the NFL. And I think for ETN, you know, to me, what Swift did, he should be able to do no problem. Just to give a little context, when you think of ETN in comparison to a player like Swift, who you really liked coming out of school last year, how much better do you think he is?
It's hard to make the comparison because he improved as a receiver this year, but he still wasn't doing some of the receiving things that Swift was doing yep. in his final season. And, you know, Swift, we should remember, was a 21-year-old rookie last year. And so it's not really fair to compare what Swift was doing his final year of college with what ETN did his final year of college. So I don't know. I think they're about the same. I would still maybe give the edge a little bit to Swift,
okay.
Who I did really like at the time. Honestly, I feel as if I was maybe a little bit too high on him. Like, I think ETN probably has a better chance of being a lead back than Swift does.
Okay. Why would that be? Because you think that the rushing portion of his game might be a little bit better?
Yeah, I think that he's a little bit bigger, I think. Although maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think he's a little bit bigger. And then part of it is I'm just a little bit skeptical on how Swift is going to be used in Detroit.
Got it. Yep. And then, like you said, we're going to have to see what the weight comes out at his pro day. We should probably also mention for anybody that has not been paying a lot of attention, this year we're not going to have a traditional combine. Players will be getting tested at their pro days. There's supposed to be things that are going to be done to make a bit more of a controlled environment so that you can do a more accurate job of comparing pro days than you otherwise would. I should also mention that last night, Curtis Patrick was up late, got the volume one of the DCC rookie guide all put together. I set an alarm, woke up around 3:30 this morning, rifled it off. It is a fantastic production. Over 100 prospect profiles in there, maybe not over 100, but definitely 100. A lot of good coverage on the positions, really setting the stage. Make sure you go and check that out. Let's talk now, Matt, about a big-bodied Alabama running back that the last time I checked in on this player with you, you had not fallen in love with him yet. Of course, that is Najee Harris. A bit of an older prospect at this point, 22.87, I believe, at the end of the college season. 6'2", 230. We'll see what the exact weight is. But this guy is big. He is a force on the field. Everybody saw that 5-touchdown performance that he had in the playoffs. Got to see what he could do at Alabama in 4 seasons there. 370 rush yards as a freshman, three rushing touchdowns. The next season, stepped things up a little bit, 783 yards, four touchdowns. The big jump came in 2019 as a junior, 209 rushing attempts, 1,224 yards, 13 touchdowns. Then, as a senior, 1,466 rushing yards, 26 rushing touchdowns. And the other thing that I really like about Harris, Matt, is his ability as a receiver. Puts up 27 recs in 2019 as a junior, 304 yards, 7 receiving touchdowns, 43 recs for 425 yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns as a senior. To me, Harris looks like a guy that has some attributes that are like Derrick Henry, especially when you see him catch a ball in open space and just how hard it is for people to bring him down. Pretty explosive for a player of that size, but I do think he has really good hands, looks athletic, impressive production at Alabama. I think there's a lot to like. I actually might have him ranked above ETN in my final rankings, and as of today, if I'm picking between the two, I actually am going with Harris because I think that there's the potential there for a player that could be an absolute difference maker. Perhaps ETN has the better overall body of work, the better case as that three down back, but I think it's possible that Harris is really, really good, that I'm going to go out on a limb and maybe take what could be, as you said last time or in our last podcast talking about the Super Bowl props, what could be a donkey move. I actually like Harris more.
When did I say I didn't like Harris?
Well, I think I checked in with you on him, and you didn't say that you didn't like him. You just like weren't in love with him yet. That might have been maybe week 15-ish.
That's weird, because that seems not my style.
No, it doesn't.
I normally like those big-bodied Alabama backs.
I know.
I wish he'd come out last year. I wish he weren't going to be a 23-year-old rookie, but yeah, I mean, what he did in his final season in Alabama was incredibly impressive. And as you mentioned, for him to have 43 receptions at 230 pounds, it's very impressive. So, I think he's a top three guy in leagues that aren't super flex. You know, it's gotta be, I think Harris is up there. ETN is up there. And then, you know, it would be, at the wide receiver position, I think Jamar. Harris is in the top three. It's just a question of whether you put him ahead of Eden. I think he has the higher floor in that, like, you know, he's a lead back, maybe not right away, maybe not like in year one, but he is an eventual lead back. Like, he is drafted with the idea of this is the guy that we could build our backfield around. You don't know that for sure with ETN, although I expect that would be the case. So I think Harris has a higher floor. I think ETN might have a higher ceiling. I do like Harris quite a bit.
Yeah. So one thing I should say that factors into this a little bit too is I really expect that Harris is going to go in and just absolutely crush the drill. So we're going to be looking at a player that has comps that might include Derrick Henry, that might include A.J. Dillon. But in comparison to A.J. Dillon, better receiver, I would say more overall or more, like a better player all around. And on top of that, probably more talented in a variety of attributes that you would want in a running back. So I'm super excited. We will have to wait and see, obviously, what the measurables come back like. But go ahead.
I will be surprised. I will be surprised if he has Derrick Henry type of athleticism, but I might be wrong. He was a 5-star recruit. So like he is a legit talent. And normally guys, when they are entering, you know, from like high school to college to the NFL, they do, even though they gain weight, they do add speed. And Harris ran a 4.66 40 as a recruit at 226 pounds. So maybe he's gotten that into the 4.5s. I don't know, but if he has, then that would be really impressive. But I'm still going to be just a little bit skeptical until we actually see him tear up the drills.
Okay, that's fair. And In my, so what I said there, because I will give a little caveat, it might not be quite as impressive, but I'm assuming when you go into the Combine Explorer and you pull up the comps, when all is said and done, you will see Derrick Henry in the list. Perhaps.
Okay, I bet that's right, but that's probably because there aren't all that many guys who are going to be 230.
Yeah, that probably does have something to do with it. All right. I'm thinking maybe next, let's talk about the two North Carolina running backs. So you have Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. Williams 5'10", 220. Michael Carter 5'8", 202. Let's just start with Carter. Now, the thing that you have to keep in mind here as we're talking about these two players is their total production is largely split between the two, so it's not going to be as impressive as other players. That said, I know a lot of people that really like Javonte Williams. But starting with Carter, and again, Carter is out of the two backs, the smaller, the larger, 5'10", 220. So as a freshman, 8 rushing touchdowns, 500.
Williams is bigger.
Is he? Did I read that wrong there?
Yeah. Williams is the bigger guy.
Okay, yes.
Pretty significantly bigger.
Yep. So it's 220 to 202 and then 5'10 to 5'8". So Williams is the bigger guy. Carter's the smaller. So Carter, 8 rushing touchdowns, 558 yards as a freshman. 2 rushing touchdowns, 597 in 2018, his sophomore season. Then 1,003 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns as a junior, closes things off in the senior season, 1,245 yards, 9 rushing touchdowns, 7.9 yards per carry. As a receiver, did have 11 recs in his freshman year, then went above 20 in the other 3 years of his career, finishes with 656 yards, 6 receiving touchdowns. The other thing, too, that we should probably point out is as a freshman, had a running back dominator of 0.62. The rest of his career, it was between 40 and 50. I will read off Williams now, Matt, and then we can talk about the two, because I think it's going to be hard to talk about them without accounting for the fact that they were both good backs and both on the same team. So Javonte Williams, let me just pull him up here. As a freshman in 2018, so that is one key difference. Williams played 3 seasons. As a freshman, 5 rushing touchdowns, 224 yards. As a sophomore, 5 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards. And then 5 rushing touchdowns, 1,140 yards at 20.6 years old in his senior season. Had 8 recs as a freshman, 17 as a sophomore, 25 as a junior on his career, 546 receiving yards, 4 rushing touchdowns, career running back dominator of 0.48. Fairly similar profiles, Matt, when you just look at the numbers and the way that things were split. I, however, do prefer Williams. A lot of that has to do with the size. But do you disagree?
Yeah, I do not disagree. I pretty significantly prefer Williams.
Yep.
And I don't, this is like the point in the class where I think you start to have a lot of divergent opinions. You know, like some people would maybe have Carter up in the top 4. I know he was, you know, productive, especially in his 2 final seasons, but I don't really, like, I don't have him up there. Like he's not, and maybe I'm just wrong. You know, we just kind of have to wait to see where he's drafted, but I'm not looking at him as a guy that I'm like wanting to get in dynasty or like I'm hoping he gets drafted in the 2nd or 3rd rounds so that I'm right about him and that I have like justification for drafting him or something like that. Like I kind of don't care about him at all.
Right. I actually have Carter at 11 in my running back rankings right now. So, I mean, that kind of paints the picture of where I am on him. Like you, I like Williams, you know, younger player, right? Also, bigger, things that we'd be looking for. And there's not much in the stats to make up for that gap when you look at Carter and Williams. And then the overall body of work, yes, Williams was there, so I get that takes away some from Carter. But also, there's other players on this list that had talented backs playing alongside them that they held back on the depth chart. So for me, Carter's not that exciting. Williams is somewhat exciting, but there's still other players that I like more.
Yeah, I mean, Carter was a 4-star recruit. He was the higher recruited player, and that's not that's not insignificant, but I mean, Williams, he's bigger. He was more productive and he, I mean, like almost as good as a receiver. So I don't know. I think it's just, it's pretty clear for me. I just prefer Williams. And I think he will probably be drafted in that like round three, round four range, maybe round two, but I think round three is probably more realistic. And from there, he has a decent chance of having some seasons as a starter.
Yep. Okay. Let's move now to, and I'm kind of looking at a list here. I was trying to not go down my rankings the way that I have it. So this is going to be kind of random. Kenneth Gainwell, a running back out of Memphis, 5'11", 191, redshirt sophomore. And again, he was playing at Memphis. On his career, you know, some decent numbers, 130 yards per game, 39 receiving yards per game, one of the better players in the class in that metric. Also, one touchdown per game. I will pull up the full season stats, though, just because we've been doing that. So, not much to speak of in the freshman season. Didn't play in 2020, by the way, but 2019, 1,459 yards, 13 rushing touchdowns, running back dominator of 0.71. Also, like I said, good receiving production, 51 recs, 610 yards, three receiving touchdowns, receiving yards market share of 15%. So in my opinion, I don't have him in my mind. I'm not grouping him as one of these players that I'm going to be actively going after. But in terms of players that have receiving ability in this class, he might be the best. What do you think?
Yeah, he's up there. I like him quite a bit.
Okay.
I think he's going to be one of the youngest in the class. I might be wrong about that, but I think he will be a 21-year-old rookie. Again, do not quote me on that.
Yeah, no, he will. He will. But actually, yeah. he's in, as far as this class goes, not necessarily one of the youngest. You have Javion Hawkins, who I love, by the way, is younger. Hubbard, Jamar Jefferson, Javonte Williams is younger, Michael Carter. So there's a number of guys, Jarrett Patterson, Master Teague.
Okay, so is he going to be 21 as a rookie or no?
I think that by the time the season starts, he'll be 22.
Okay, so no. So yeah, okay. So I'm wrong there. Even still, I like him.
Okay.
Because of his receiving ability, that is a big thing he has going for him. But then he's also like a pretty good runner, and we've seen success for the guys coming out of Memphis. Like, I don't want to like overstate it, you know, because like Antonio Gibson, I thought he had a good season, not a great season, but like we have seen guys coming out of Memphis be pretty good athletes.
Yep. Darrell Henderson, the other name.
Yeah. Henderson, and then also Tony Pollard.
Right.
So I think we're going to see Gainwell test pretty well. And with his receiving ability, even though he's not a big guy, I think he's probably going to be a little bit bigger, like, you know, 200 pounds. Like, I think that will be big enough for him to be a really intriguing change of pace back. And, you know, if you can get him in the second round of drafts, rookie drafts, I think that could be some value.
Got it. All right. We're going to step away here for a quick reminder.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colm Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening in to another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the Rotoviz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
All
right, up next, Jermar Jefferson out of Oregon State. Really, really phenomenal freshman season at 18.7, 1,381 rushing yards, 12 rushing touchdowns. It's an RB dominator of 0.57. Also added 25 recs for 147 yards. As a sophomore, played 9 games. In 2020, played just 6 games. So the numbers for those seasons aren't as impressive. Did put up 8 rushing touchdowns in 9 games in 2019, 685 yards. In 2020, 7 rushing touchdowns, 858 yards. Just 9 recs in each of those 2 seasons following his freshman year. But I do think, in my opinion, that Jefferson's a pretty exciting player. 5'9", 215 approximately. So I think that you could make a case that he might be in that tier that's going to fall behind Harrison, Etienne.
Yeah, maybe. I wish he were a better receiver. And then we just kind of have to see what his athleticism looks like. Because if his athleticism is just kind of mediocre, then I think it's all about landing spot for him. And, you know, we're looking at like a mediocre athlete who doesn't catch the ball. And, you know, where does he land? Does he have a chance to start right away? I don't know. I'm not that intrigued by him, but if he's athletic, then yeah, I'll be interested, but it's all dependent on where he lands.
Right. Okay. We're going to try to go through these other guys a little bit more quickly here. Trey Sermon, running back out of Ohio State, 6 feet, 213. The other player that was there this season was Master Teague, who I actually think ended up, I'm not sure he actually ended up declaring, but I liked Sermon better out of the two anyway. As a freshman, 121 rushing attempts, 5 touchdowns, 744 yards. By the way, we should probably mention too, he was at Oklahoma his first 3 seasons. 2018, 947 yards, 13 touchdowns. Just 8 games in 2019, 4 rushing touchdowns, 385 yards, but that was still 7.13 yards per carry. Then makes his way over to Ohio State in 8 games, 870 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns, 7.5 yards per carry. Didn't have a season in his career with more than 16 receptions, 482 receiving yards on the career, 3 receiving touchdowns. My thought on Sermon is that he might have the size. I'm hoping he comes in around 215, maybe shows some measurables. I'm not super excited about him, but I think there's potential.
I don't know. Like, the more we talk about these guys and look at them, the more I'm just sort of the opinion that we're seeing a whole bunch of guys behind Etienne and Harris who are going to end up doing kind of nothing in the NFL. You know, maybe Sermon does something. Like, I could see him going in round 3, round 4, but these guys look like a whole bunch of guys who are going to go at the end of day 2 and maybe the first half of day 3. And that just doesn't excite me.
Yeah. All right. That's fair. And, you know, that is the funny thing about this. I think in a lot of classes, I don't really care at all about Trey Sermon. It's just that in the context of this class, it looks like there could be some potential there. Let's talk about Chuba Hubbard, Matt. As I mentioned, he was a player that started off his career like, you know, super impressive, has ridiculous speed, but just did not put things together as his career closed. Again, to put things in perspective, he's also older, which is not great, which you have to keep in mind. So he was 19 and a half, actually, in his freshman season with 124 attempts, 740 rushing yards, 7 rushing touchdowns. That was an RB Dominator of 0.46. Also had 22 recs, 229 yards that season. As a sophomore at 20 and a half, 2,094 yards, 21 rushing touchdowns, a running back dominator of 0.86, added 23 recs for 198 receiving yards. Then, and there's things that you can point to at in the Oklahoma State offense, you know, not a good offensive line, quarterback play, pretty shaky, 132 attempts, 623 yards, 5 touchdowns, 4.72 yards per carry, 8 recs, 52 yards, a receiving touchdown. But what concerns me here with a player like Hubbard is that drop off that you see from what you thought you were going to have in 2019 going into 2020 does concern me a little bit. And if you put everything together into this collegiate profile, it's kind of left lacking where you would have wanted him to be at had he just declared last year. And it seems like you definitely agree. As you said, you know, it's pretty much Harris and Etienne, and then everybody else just kind of falls into this conglomerate that we don't really care about.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Hubbard reemerges. He certainly had the talent in his redshirt sophomore season with, I mean, the production that you mentioned. And I think he's probably a better receiver than the numbers that we saw this year. But so it wasn't like a horrible year this year. It was just not anything close to what we saw the year previously. So I don't know. Like, I'm still interested in Hubbard, but we just kind of have to wait and see with him.
Yep. So I think that I've hit all of the names of players that have like the highest projected draft capital. So I want to pop in, unless there's anybody that you think I forgot, but I just want to pop into some of the names of players that I find intriguing. Let's start with Ramondre Stevenson out of Oklahoma, who was a lot more intriguing to me when it looked like he might be 246 pounds. Actually, at the why can't I think of the name of it, Matt? The Senior Bowl? Yes, Senior Bowl. 227 pounds, 5'11 and a half. Like I said, out of Oklahoma. One of those guys that if you watch the film looks impressive because he is bigger. 8.05 yards per carry in 2019, 515 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, 101 attempts in 2020, 664 rushing yards, 7 rushing touchdowns. On his career, 28 receptions, 298 yards. This is not a robust profile at all. He's a player that probably in a lot of ranking sets would be lucky to get into the top 10. Maybe he's probably on the border. For me, like I said, there's not a very robust profile. I just think it's possible, given the size that he has, if he were to test well, he might be an interesting player.
Yeah, he's a guy I need to look at more because I believe he was a junior college player, and we all know how much I love looking at junior college stats. he was probably a beast in junior college, and that's how he got to Oklahoma, and then, you know, was a backup in his first year. And then in his second year at OU, his senior season, he was actually pretty good. I mean, 876 scrimmage yards in six games. Like, that's a really good number, and was a good receiving back in his limited sample there. So, like, that's encouraging for a guy to have 18 receptions in six games at, you know, almost 230 pounds. I think he's going to be really slow. You know, I mean, probably not like in the 4.7s, but like in the 4.6s, which puts him in, you know, like, I don't know, like Carlos Hyde type of territory, or Jordan Howard type of territory as an athlete. So, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, he's not going to be someone who is like big and fast. He's probably just going to be someone who's big. But with the receiving ability for a big guy, that's pretty good. Like, I do think you are right to be interested in him.
Yeah, and then just a quick note on there, as you talked about, you know, players like Jordan Howard. One thing that you see sometimes with players, and I think that Stevenson could be one of these that falls into it, there are sort of cohorts of players that don't test particularly well, but they have something in common that actually does lend itself to actually being fairly successful at the NFL level. If that manifests, we'll talk about that a little bit more. A player that I really like, who I mentioned earlier, is Javian Hawkins out of Louisville. I will say that I have a bias here, and that is because he absolutely crushes the breakaway rush score metric that I do each year for the site, which is one of the more predictive things you can look at for running backs. I had to kind of tweak the formula this year, given the fact that normally it's best to just look at raw totals, but with COVID impacting the number of games that players played, I had to kind of rework things around. So it's a slightly different system this year, but Hawkins really crushed it. He started his career without doing a whole lot. 2018, just two rushing attempts. 2019, finished the season at age 20.1, 264 rushing attempts, 1,525 yards, 9 rushing touchdowns. As a receiver, I would like to see more production, only 4 receptions. And then in 2020, Louisville played 7 games, 133 attempts, 822 rushing yards, 7 rushing touchdowns, 16 recs, 127 yards. Dominator ratings, though, really high. 2019.62, 2020.88. I don't know if I already said it, though. He is a smaller prospect, which does concern me. 5'9", 196. You know, I would like to see him get closer to that 205, 206 type of range. I think that he's going to test well. I think he's agile. I think he's pretty fast. I will be honest that I'm also influenced by watching the film on him, as it just looks like he has a lot of skills that could work well at the next level. Do I expect him to be a 3-down back? No, but I think that he's one of these players that could find some type of specialized role. And in a class where you don't have a lot of backs that profile as players that are going to get a lot of opportunity right out of the gate, I think Hawkins could be one of these guys that somehow manages to string things together, kind of like a Nyheim Hines. Maybe not in the exact same way, but one of these players that's easy to overlook but is skilled and teams might pick up on it.
I agree in large part. When he was a recruit, I mean, he was only 167 pounds, but even then he ran a 4.36 40 time. So like, he has significant speed. And like, I think that testing result probably made him the fastest back in his recruitment class. Yeah, he was the fastest, like, all around, like, sort of like quote unquote athlete. Cause I think he was also kind of coming in as like a hybrid wide receiver, running back type of player. He certainly has the athleticism, but I fear he's going to be sort of typecast in this like supplementary role, where even if he ends up being drafted, let's say like in the third round, the fourth round, he's not going to get the opportunity really to even come close to lead back usage. I think not even like normal change of pace usage, because I don't believe that he's going to be 196 pounds. Like, given that he was 167 pounds as a recruit, I think it's likelier that he's in like the 180s than that he like comes close to 200. So I'm just a little bit skeptical with him, but he certainly has upside. Like, he has the athleticism for sure.
Right. And if he does come out and he's in the 180s, I'm probably going to be a lot less interested. The one thing I will hold on to hope, though, here is that Tariq Cohen is 5'6", 179, athletic guy. You know, maybe Hawkins can do the same type of thing that's Cohen fair. Did. Yeah. Yep. Any other names that you want to make sure we mention, Matt?
Yeah, Kylan Hill stands out to me.
Yep.
And he had a really weird year at Mississippi State, where he played three games and then opted out after that. And he had only 15 carries in those games, but he had 23 receptions, which is just, it's like, what were they playing him at wide receiver? You know, like, it's such a weird stat line. And so, like, you look in totality, he still had almost 300 yards in three games. He's actually a pretty decent receiving back, at least based on what he did in this three-game sample in 2020. And he was never much of a receiver before that. But, you know, like, you add in the receiving production from 2020 and kind of average it all together, like, it ends up looking pretty good. But, you know, what he did in 2019 as the lead back at Mississippi State, you know, over 1,500 yards from scrimmage, double-digit touchdowns. He's an intriguing guy. He's probably not going to be highly drafted, like, but he's someone that I'm just kind of keeping in the back of my mind. Like, you know, the SEC backs who are productive and can also catch the ball, like, that just kind of intrigues me. So he's someone I'm keeping an eye on. And then one more guy, although we maybe shouldn't think of him as a running back, but Demetric Felton,
yep.
Who is kind of this wide receiver running back hybrid. I believe at the Senior Bowl, he played as a wide receiver. I think, like, apparently he looked pretty good in those drills, and I think that's how he's going to enter the NFL in that sort of like Curtis Samuel type of role, as a hybrid guy who plays more wide receiver than running back. But I mean, I think he could be a running back if a team wanted to use him that way. Like, he was the running back for UCLA in his final season there, and he looked very good doing it. Obviously, because he had played wide receiver before, he has the pass catching capability. But like, he looked like he has the skills to be an actual lead back. And, you know, he's a little bit on the smaller side, like 5'10", 200 pounds. Maybe he's actually not that big. Maybe he's a little bit bigger, but like, that's roughly where he is. But with his running ability and then the pass catching ability, like, if a team decides to make him a running back, he will be someone who stands out to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it with both of those guys that you mentioned. They were, you know, Kylan Hill too. I don't know if we mentioned his size is 5'11", 215. So that was interesting. Felton, definitely interesting as well. Three other players that you might be interested just to learn a little bit more about, but I will let people do that on their own. Puka Williams Jr., 5'10", 170. A really exciting player, probably doesn't have the size, but I enjoyed, you know, looking at some of his numbers, watching a little bit of the film. Jarrett Patterson out of Buffalo, 126 yards per game on the career. And then Brandon Knox out of Marshall, 116 yards per game on the career. I should probably also mention, too, Patterson, 1.6 touchdowns per game. Patterson was out of Buffalo, Knox out of Marshall, Williams Jr. out of Canvas. Other players that are kind of interesting. Unlikely, though, that they actually become players that we're interested in drafting. Any closing thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, just shooting from the hip based on this exercise, and we're going to talk about wide receivers next week, but my early lean on this is that most of the time in rookie drafts, I prefer to go with wide receivers early. You know, like, those guys, I think, last longer. They are a little more projectable because they're not quite as dependent on landing spot. But this year, I think you have to go running back early because it's a pretty decent wide receiver class. And more importantly, I'm just like not inspired by many guys after Etienne and Harris. So like, if you have a shot to get one of those two guys, like you absolutely have to get them, because there's no way you're getting any player close to their caliber in the second round.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like you said, we'll talk about that more. But there's a number of receivers that I like enough that I don't see myself taking, and actually an interesting tight end or two as well. So I don't see myself out of Harris or Etienne taking a running back in the first round. There's also a couple of players too that at wide receiver that I like more than the common drafter might. So I'd be happy about getting them as well in round one. But we will talk more about that next week. In the meantime, that does it for today's episode. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. You can follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at MattFTheOracle. Send us an email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. And as always, remember, it's not a fantasy if you believe it.